So this is the panel on cross-cutting themes, and the cross-cutting theme that I was invited to comment on, that is a theme that's been present throughout all of the panels today and yesterday, was the theme of law and morality. What is left to say? Seriously, what's left to say? And of course, each of us was given a theme, and in my typical style, and Rod knows that this is my typical style, in order to be able to do this, I spent the entire conference transcribing every single word that was said by everyone and all of the interveners. And I wrote down each comment to be sure that I could properly attribute. And when I didn't know a name, I'd put down a description with a plan to check later, like brilliant comment, man, glasses, face like a turtle slash antelope. It was like the family reunion of, you know, that you'll get through the internet when it reaches all of the greatest branches of your family, and you know they're yours, but you don't know their names. Then I studiously brought my notes up to my office and looked again at my theme. Oh, yes, that's right, law and morality. Wait a second. Then I highlighted all the pieces of the transcript that had to do with law and morality, and that narrowed it down to only 46 single-space pages. And I had 15 minutes, you know, in between the last session and this one, really. I decided instead to scrap that idea and instead to start with an anecdote about me. intimidated as I was. Lots of people here were talking about drinking the Kool-Aid. I was home birthed in a pool of that Kool-Aid. I took two of Rod's courses when I was a student here at the faculty. The first one was administrative process. And when people asked me what that was about, you know, we foster relationships between upper year students and lower year students, and then I would talk to them about it, and they'd ask me, what's that course about? And I'd say, oh, it's basically a course about how to be a good person and law. Then I took my favorite course that I ever took in all of law school, with all due respect to the dozen or so people in this room who taught me while I was here, and that was secured transactions, my all-time favorite. What was that about, the lower year students asked me. Oh, I said, it's the same thing as administrative process. It's about how to be a good person through law, but this time in a way that most closely approximates the Sunday cryptic crossword. And in a way, that's why this theme is so hard to report on. All of Rod's work, in the end, is about morality one way or another. You saw that, of course, through the last panel, which was about law and virtue. But because I'm someone who always tries to do her best to do what is asked of her, I will try to say in now 2 minutes or less to describe the cost, really 2 minutes. to describe the cross-cutting theme of law and morality. And basically, as many of us here, but I just wanted to mention that, like Tom McMorrow and a number of other people, I do feel very awkward about simplifying, but I'm going to do it. Basically, as so many of us here have said, when Rod looks at any system, federalism, administrative law, secured transactions, legal education, he starts by asking to look at the moral ends of the system. And at their most general, those ends are so often very much the same, which is helpful when you're giving a talk on cross-cutting themes, for federalism, for secured transactions, for all of those areas. Equal respect, self-realization, agency, trust, fairness, really. And if you want to pursue those moral ends, then, as Kirsten Anker pointed out, you need means that suit them. And those means have to be ones that resist dogma, because it's dogma that prevents you from seeing the ways in which systems fail to serve ends. Not only that, but you need to actually know and care about and look at how your systems serve those ends by seeking to understand and hear everyone affected by the system, which basically means everyone. This can only be achieved from a posture of humility, self-doubt, and tireless inquiry. And when I say tireless, I mean wake up at 5 in the morning, go to sleep at midnight, inquiry. And all this in a world, as Richard Yanda pointed out more beautifully than I could ever imagine, when the last thing so many want to do is adopt any posture of humility or self-doubt that requires you to engage with what is so different from you. Yet, as Jeremy Weber said it, the quality of our morality is in the way in which we engage with other. So those were two very, very fundamental lessons. And we've told and retold these lessons analytically, through metaphor, through allegory over the last 2 days. One other theme of Rod's, though, and one that's very intimately connected with this pursuit of morality through engagement with other, is about changing your medium to tell your message in a new way. As Kirsten said, he didn't want to comment on the Plasticine at the faculty retreat. Carrie Riddich commented to similar effect about our needs to broaden our ways of communicating things. Well, one of those ways, as you know, that Rod has engaged in the past, well, maybe you know, maybe you don't, is that in addition to all of the things that he's done that we've talked about for the last 2 days, Rod is also a playwright. This is true. And so I'd like to introduce a play that Rod wrote in the past that I'd like to have performed here. It's one that's known to at least 10 of us in the room, but maybe less so to those who were less formally Rod's students. And its stars are customarily Raggedy Andy and Sophie Le Singe, who have inhabited Rod's office for some time, but since this is all in some way an exercise in improvisation, in the MacDonald tradition, they are not here. And so instead, the roles of Sophie and Andy will be played by Black Glove and Grey Glove, who will in turn be played by two of Rod's former students who are here, Charlie Feldman and Eric Ward.
Oh, there we go. That's a problem. Yeah, so the thing is, we have a script, so we know the words that Rod wrote. The problem is no one knows the tune. So we figure in the pluralist spirit, we'll be in different keys, different tempos, different times, and hopefully this will go as bad as we think it will. All right, here we go. Raggedy Andy, wait, character.
Oh, I can only sing the high part. It's the only part I know. And when I sing the high part, this is how I go. La, 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 la.
Oh, I can only sing the low part. It's the only part I know. And when I sing the low part, this is how I go. La, 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 la.
You know, Sophie, with you to help me, I bet I could sing the low part too.
And I think I could sing the high part. Let's try.
Oh, I can only sing the low part. It's the only part I know. And when I sing the low part, this is how I go. La, 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 la.
La, la, la.
Oh, I can only sing the high part. It's the only part I know. And when I sing the high part, this is how I go. La, 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 la.
Character.
All right. When we put them both together, I'm sure you will agree, the whole sounds better than the parts.
As you can plainly see,
la, 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 la,
la, la, la, la.
Bravi.
Okay, so that was it. And now it's just unceremoniously over to me. Wow. Thanks. Hi. So, my name is Martha Marie. I'm going to start off by my thank yous to Richard, who sent me some lovely emails to invite me over here. And when I responded, I don't know how many people know this, but I actually work now in Malaysia. I'm the vice provost of a university, a British university, and we're building a campus, a university in Malaysia. And so that's my job. And I said to Richard, oh, wow, that weekend works out really well for me because I'm just over in the UK for 2 weeks. So with a hop, skip, and a flap, I can make it to Montreal for 3 days. I have to admit I never really understood exactly how tiring, both physically and emotionally, that flap was going to be. But I do thank you very much. I've heard so many times over the last 2 days, law is autobiographical, and how very fitting, because over the last 2 days, I think we've spent some amazing time in tribute and some amazing time in the age-old academic endeavor, which is, it's about me. Oh, it's about me. And what you said about me. And then what somebody else said, you said about me. And yes, it was about me. I really need to be honest to all of you that, frankly, that's why Rod and I wrote that, is so that we could all have an excuse to do that every time. So you can just keep citing us as law is autobiographical every time you say, it's about me. I first came into this law school. Wow, I should have checked the time. Darn it. Okay, done. I first came into this law school 20 years ago. Don't worry, we're not talking that long, because Rod and I were only together for 4 years, 3.5, really. And the first time I was in this law school, I was in that audience there in a foundations class. Amazing how that keeps coming up, isn't it, Rod? And this guy right here was leading it, Daniel Jutras. And I was the student. Now, I have to tell you that one of the things I hated about law school, and I know we're not allowed to say I hated, but I hated about law school was that everyone surrounding me was incredibly instrumental. You know those first-year law classes, right? Everyone either wants to make millions and millions of dollars or pounds, or they want to save the world. I had made tons of cash in the film industry. There's no way in hell I was ever going to save the world. I really just wanted to sit and think and listen and learn. And I was lucky enough to be able to figure out how to do that. And it took some figuring, and I had some help. I had some help from Danielle and David, who both threw some marginalia on a paper, which got me to meet Rod, and through an intervention, properly called, yeah? Properly called intervention by Professor Lametti in November, when it looked like I was leaving, saying "get ye to Rod McDonald" was basically the message, and we spent some lovely times and a wonderful summer, and I'm really pleased, frankly, Rod, that I'm not doing this from that brown suede sofa, because I found I could never get out of that. Was that your trick? You put everyone in there and then they just stay. I have to say put on the reading glasses, for goodness sake. There we are. That's working much better. Through Rod, I had so many vistas opened, not just amongst all of you whom were teachers and colleagues, and weirdly, many of you younger than me when I started law school. But I also got to meet Pierre and Jean-Guy and André and Guy in our wonderful intercollegiate group. Rod is all about introducing people, because ultimately it's relational, right? So you've got to meet so-and-so, because so-and-so does da-da-da-da-da-da. It doesn't matter what so-and-so does. So-and-so could be knitting a skein into a beautiful scarf. You have to meet them. And that's the point of Rod McDonald. You need to meet them, because ultimately that's going to change who you are. And it did. I do feel that there are some apologies owed, and I'll try and get some of them out of the way right now. Frankly, Madeline and Aiden, and to a lesser extent Shelley, because you were minors, I worry, because I spent so many mornings with Rod and so many, well, they pretended to be mornings, with Rod talking about you guys. It was how our days started. It felt sometimes like a competition, but perhaps that was just me competing. Probably was, wasn't it? Okay. All right. Fair enough. It was a competition to get into the office before 7 a.m., because the first person in got to make the pot of coffee in the building up there. I don't understand what Jean-Francois was talking about with this reheated coffee. After I left, did you stop? What happened? You stopped making coffee? I'm confused. But we used to do that. And so whoever was down there made that coffee and then went upstairs. When you came in as the second person, you could smell the coffee brewing. And it was always something that I wanted to do, was to make the coffee so that when Rod came in, he could smell it. And then what I'd get was, and I'm sure many of you know this, the pound, pound, pound as you went up two flights of stairs, about as gracefully as I do, singing "This Little Buttercup." Now, no one had ever called me a buttercup, and you might say butter something, but it wasn't no buttercup, yeah? And this lovely man was calling me buttercup, and not only that, singing, "Angela, your voice is better, but I still love that song more." And during that time, Madeline and Aiden and Shelley, I heard all about you and felt not a part of your family, but a part of you, and that you were a part of me and our endeavor. And it makes so much sense, right? Because it is all about those relationships and law and transdisciplinarity. And by the way, that's what I'm supposed to be talking about. Is all about knocking down those boundaries and those borders. And how utterly ridiculous for us to have those boundaries and borders. And that conversation that included all of you, I am so grateful for. So I owe you that apology, Mads and Aiden, who's not here. I want to reassure you that my students know my nephews very well, taking a little page out of that book. My doctoral students obviously know you guys, and I do try and temper it, but it does help them realize that Rod's not a god, which is good, right? Because mortality, we need to be human, because that's what Rod talks about all the time, is this being human. Part of that humanity that he's brought to me has, and I'm sorry, I'm going to disagree forcefully with Jeremy. Okay, perhaps not forcefully, because I don't really do that anymore, because it just takes so much energy. But what did you call it? Intemperately, or disagreeing with Harry is what you did? I thought that was very well expressed, and I can't do that, Jeremy. But frankly, the word hope is the way I've always felt that I've been inspired by you. The notion of hope, and darn that Jeremy Weber for trying to dig out that little essential point and making it that big part of his talk. No, gosh darn it. No. It was that hope and that part of humanity of striving for, that pushing those little bits, that interaction. And so many of you have said this. I don't know half of you, and you've expressed this already. And it's reassuring, isn't it, that we all feel. I mean, it's not just what Irwin said about everyone expresses the debt they owe, but we express it in so many of the same ways. And we're back to that way in which we communicate, and we're back to that way in which you were a loving dean, which I never actually got to see, a loving professor. Actually, I never took a course from you, but a loving leader and mentor and friend and colleague. It is in that communication and that sharing of hope, and that hoping whilst I think still having a little doubt, but always acting on hope. It's acting on hope over and over again. And I smile every time I go to work, or I try. And I smile every time I work with undergraduate students, not so much anymore, postgraduate students, much more, and think about the way I learn and the way I have not stopped learning since I met you. I'm sure I learned before, but I feel the force of it was never there, Rod. I feel the force of it was never there. Rod and I think there was one time you spoke about the 4-H Club, Rod, for all intents and purposes, the 4-H Club is very different between the States and Canada, and perhaps I'm mixing up stories. Fair enough, right? Fair enough. But there was one other H besides hope that gets drawn out in a lot of what people said. And some people mentioned it briefly. But in that particular article on transdisciplinarity, there's an H about which we all need to be careful. And it's that H of hubris. And that's the other way. Those two H's are the ones that guide me from you. Stop being so damn complacent. Don't stay there without questioning yourself. How dare you be prideful? Obviously, he doesn't phrase it like that. But it is. It's just an anger at people who have and hold on to that hubris. And yet, an anger at yourself for not having communicated. And, And so in that sense of criticizing for a possession of hubris, you live and you practice that lack thereof. And I've certainly treasured that and have tried so much to let me be one of its disciples. In your article, one of the things you said about disciples, and oh, bless you for using all those biblical examples. I've always loved those, you know that. The transdisciplinarity article, of course, starts with Babel, but one of the other things, I don't know if people picked that up, but amazingly, one of those other things was that, first of all, God is plural. Elohim versus Yahweh, right? And then Adam was plural. And I always laugh when I go back to that piece particularly, because it's as if you're just playing with us with the little plurality, even with transdisciplinarity. You're going to use those examples and tell us about that wonderful plurality of your unitary God, which isn't so unitary. I've enjoyed it. It's been a wonderful ride, and it's one that these last 2 days have made me think, wow, I haven't seen this and I haven't experienced this in 15 years. We have the odd conversation or the odd email, but it's a very special thing to be next to you and to be across from you and to see you saying, oh, what crap are you saying to me, Martha Marie? It's just wonderful. And I'm really so pleased that I'm here. I want to tell you about something that I'm doing, just because I haven't really had the chance, and it is about me, all right? I told you we're building this university, and so many times I come back to you, because who in their life gets to build a university, gets to think about how pharmacy is going to work and be taught and with whom and by whom and in another country and with across a range of nationalities and citizens and with lawyers and business people and languages. And I get to play in that play box, toy box, I guess it's called, with all of those wonderful ideas and thoughts and self-reflections that I've had because of you. And it's such a treat. And it's also amazing to watch how other people don't have that. And I walk through those conversations of office politics. And I walk through those conversations that we still have as colleagues about, you know, what is really important. Is it the power? Is it the plurality? Or I get to have those on a daily basis about education, about a university and new groups of students across disciplines, transdisciplinary. Well, I'm not going to say that I'm doing that for the point of transdisciplinarity, because that would be fruitless. But I am enjoying that time putting all those things together. I'm going to say just one last word. And, well, she's trying to read her handwriting. As such, we say in Malaysia, and those of you who know me from back here, it's the American who learned the French. Obviously, I'm learning the Bahasa. Whenever people speak to you of something emotional, right, they do it dari hati, which is they put their hand on their heart and they touch their heart. So it's, you know, I'm really pleased to meet you. And they don't have to say really, because it's from the heart. Dari hati. Rod, I love you. Thank you so much.
I've been asked to speak about the cross-cutting theme, law and time, or I prefer to think of it as it's expressed in the French version of the program, the transversal theme, law and time. How's that for an assignment at the end of two full, rich days? Probably the only person in the room who could pull it off and do it justice is Rod MacDonald. Let me invoke Rod by starting with the informal, as we should, the corridor talk. These 2 days have been like old home week for all of us. We've had the opportunity to meet people for the first time who seem like old friends because of our mutual connections through Rod. And we've reconnected with old friends, some of whom we may not have seen for years. Those reunions include customary observations about how we haven't changed a bit in years. And that's generally true, especially if you're prepared to look beyond the obvious, which of course Rod would insist that we do. And in that, there's a very important lesson that we've all learned from Rod, which is to encourage each other and to give a compliment. That's an essential, really an essential feature of Rod's optimism and generosity, to which many people have referred over the past 2 days. Rod doesn't give bullshit compliments, to invoke that word for the third time in 2 days. In fact, he finds stylish and meaningful ways to tell us that we can do better. And at the highest level, what Rod does goes beyond optimism and generosity. It's in the first part about citizenship, a remarkable, irrepressible citizenship that we're called upon to share. And at an idiosyncratic level, a one-on-one level, a granular level, and in more intimate terms, it's love. We need more of both, and we have Rod as our example. This brings me back to time. Is there anyone here who has not, over the course of the last 2 days, and perhaps at many points in the last 2 days, said, "Where the hell did Rod find the time?" The time to tackle big and diverse questions, to write and read and think productively and constructively, to truly cross and eradicate boundaries, to build new collaborations and disciplinary movements or transdisciplinary movements, and to do all of that in a way that would never be called generalist. Rod goes deep. One of the things that we know about Rod, those of us who know him well, is that he gets up early in the morning. So perhaps that's the ultimate connection between law and time. Something that hasn't been mentioned is that on many of those mornings, Rod walked in, wherever he found the time for that. Something else that has not been mentioned in the course of the past 2 days is the word patience. So don't let me introduce it at this point. On top of that, and in addition to his own amazing productivity, Rod finds and makes the time to encourage and push each of us in our own way. And to take the time for that, I think everyone in the room has had a direct experience of it, and to have a beautiful family. And as impressive as all of this list is, I feel impelled to add, as Patrick Glenn did yesterday in his final comment, and beyond. Comme nous sommes à Montréal, je vais citer un penseur montréalais qui n'a pas été mentionné jusqu'à date et qui est presque aussi renommé que Rod MacDonald, c'est-à-dire Pierre-Elliott Trudeau. Trudeau a dit que l'élément essentiel en politique est le timing. Well, what Trudeau actually said was the essential ingredient of politics is timing. I'm not sure what he would have said if he had said it in French. if he had consulted l'Office de la langue française, which he most surely would not have done, le timing is the recommended term. Trudeau aside, you may wonder why, with the limited time available to me, I'm introducing a new term or broadening the scope of inquiry. Quite simply, That's because Rod, that's what Rod MacDonald would do. You can't just talk about law and time. You can't just talk about chronology or something that you can measure in old-fashioned terms, but you have to think about timing to bring in context, outside norms, considerations, and influences. And in fact, timing has been an essential ingredient of Rod's scholarship and his influence on us and his career. We heard the panel on pluralism yesterday refer to a point in time when pluralism was a different thing and how it has changed because of Rod's influence. We heard people say later in that session that it's been a long while since federalism was spoken of with such vigor or with such frequency. That time was likely prior to the last First Minister's Conference. We haven't had one since November of 2008. Timing matters. And in the case of Rod, he's not only recognized that element of timing, but he has recognized that he can have an influence on timing and on historical events and on each and every one of us. He's had an influence on institutions, none more so than this law faculty, as so many have said today. Rod has looked across time with an approach in his scholarship that is, in its essence or in its foundations, historical. Three centuries of federalism, restoring dignity, the work on the civil code, his question to Robert Leckie about the abolition of seigneurial rights, and so on. Danielle Joutreau started us off yesterday with music, also about timing, or time, the times they are changing. Rest easy, I'm not going to sing. But I'm going to draw upon a singer and upon music for a further thought about time. Maria Callas, magnificent Greek opera star, who, like Rod, had an impressive range, said, "An opera begins long before the curtain goes up and ends long after it has come down. It starts in my imagination, it becomes my life, and it stays part of my life long after I've left the opera house." As everyone knows who has spoken and who has had the privilege to be here during this fine, rich symposium, Rod, your influence continues and will continue long after we've left the opera house. I refer to the splendid program that was put together for this conference for two final points. The first of which is to refer to the beautiful art work that is on the front and back cover of the program. And I think most of us look at that and see what we suppose is the globe. And we look more closely and we see that it is in fact named Pothole. And then we look further and we see that it's a work of Shelley Freeman. And in that, I think we see that the greatest influence on Rod's thinking and on his productivity and on the great contributions that we've celebrated here over the past 2 days has been Shelley. Thank you, Shelley. My final point about the program is includes an element of a confession. I'm not the first to make a confession today. I came here as a skeptic that we'd ever make it through. And I was sure it was going to be punishing. And it hasn't been. And we're almost on time, Richard, relax. I'm finished. But what it has been, and I'm not sure, really, if any of us looking at this chock-a-block schedule realized it until we had the honor and the real pleasure to be in this room and be part of it. It has been a kaleidoscopic, rich exposure to the great range and diversity and height of and depth of Rod MacDonald's life and career and scholarship and his influence on each and every one of us. Thank you, Rod.